Kia ora and welcome from Radio New Zealand National. Here's our changing world.
If 3D printers can print guns, what about printing robots?
In years to come, robots may well be a part of our everyday lives, but how will we behave and interact with them?
A team from the University of Canterbury wants to find out, but first they have to build a life-sized robot.
Ruth goes to the Human Interface Technology Laboratory, where Eduardo Sandoval and Tim Pomeroy show her the parts they've made so far.
Here we are. This is the hardware room of the HIT Lab.
Okay.
This particular room is really important for this project because here we have the 3D printer. And here we have Tim, who is working in all the platform development and all the configuration and software and so on. So.
Hello, Tim.
Hi there.
What are you printing?
At the moment, these are a few side assembly parts, I guess, for one of the rotational mechanisms. It's a hinge joint for moving rotational motion around a 90-degree bend.
So these will go onto the side of...
Well, these actually fit into an angle mechanism for one of the arms, but that's much later on.
And we have sitting here a red face.
We do indeed.
And this is the robot's face, is it?
This is the head of the robot, yep. I've got some of the skull pieces for the plating here. But they're mostly just for covering over the mechanism of the inside. But this is the main skull we've been working on the last couple of months.
And it's about the same size as a
human
face?
Yeah, the whole build is humanoid in its size. Like, small to average size person, really. I mean, that's the head, the necks, similar to the scale, so is the torso. Some of the pieces are over here.
And what are they made out of? Just plastic?
PLA plastic. There's two main types of plastic when you do 3D printing. There's ABS and there's PLA. ABS is a petroleum-based plastic, and this is a cornstarch, I believe, based plastic, which is more brittle but a lot more firmer, which has worked to some degree, some of the parts, but the original design was an ABS. So a lot of work has gone into sanding pieces. They don't fit together quite right. And modifying the existing files for the project is difficult. So we're better off just sanding the parts after they're printed.
How many pieces have gone into the head?
I think there's 48 pieces in total for the head, and the entire build consists of 144.
It looks like even the inside parts look like sort of cogs and motor bits.
Yep, cogs, gears.
Have they all been printed as well?
The entire thing has been printed apart from the servos.
And then painted as well?
Nope.
No?
We have coloured plastic, so you've got options of red, orange, black. We had some white before. This is currently printing in green. There's blue. You got a see-through blue over there. So the colour you print in is just depending on the plastic you use. You can pick whatever colour they can make into the plastic.
And the 3D printing, it's almost like plastic wire.
Yep.
And then depositing little bits.
Yes. So
and
the,
building it up layer by layer.
Yep, that's basically how it works. It's got a plastic filament. It gets pulled through a heated nozzle. The heated nozzle just slowly extrudes hot plastic onto the layer. It basically outlines the object you want, then fills it in the honeycomb pattern, and it just does it layer by layer, slowly building up the model until it's finished.
And this part you said was from the arm, so you're building pieces not just for the head now, you're
going further on.
Right. Yeah. So where are some of these other pieces?
The neck is here. It's some of the bounding on thing. That's not bad quality, really.
No,
it has amazing detail.
It looks like
a spine.
A spine, yeah. It looks like the inside of a neck rather than
not quite fleshed out. And then you've got that's the lifting mechanism for the head. So that's all been printed.
So the actual robot, will it look like a skeleton? What do you have a picture of what it will look like?
I do have a picture of what it will look like. That's what the final build will be. An upper torso of a human.
Yeah, so it's just the upper torso.
Yeah, at the moment.
It actually, can I say, it looks a little bit freaky.
Yeah, of course, like all the robots at the moment, you know. And to a certain point, the robot looks nice and cute. But after this point, people are going to reject them. They're going to say they look freaky.
Too human.
Yeah.
You start thinking something
but not enough it. Human to look like a healthy human. But we're in the first stages of this development about social robots and humanoid robots. So, well, let's gonna see what happens with the next generation of
the
technology.
Yeah.
It's something to do with the eyes, though, I think, for me. That kind of had blank spaces for eyes. Partly as well, that was a white version of it. And somehow the red looks a little bit better. I don't know why.
It's because white you could say almost looks like an off-tone skin colour.
Yeah.
And so it looks a little bit more human, and with the uncanny valley theory, with that off-white colour, it looks a bit more human. You're actually further down the valley and it looks creepier. Like with the red, it looks a little bit more artificial.
Yeah, that's right.
And that makes it actually friendlier looking.
It's definitely an intentional decision.
Yeah, so that would be the eye inside.
That would be the first generation of the eye, yeah.
What is that?
It's a simple PCB chip out of a webcam.
Yep.
So it's just all the encasing and the mechanisms taken apart. And just the camera's taken.
Just the camera of the webcam behind. Yep. So it could have like a red light or something.
Yep, if you wanted to put a red light, as long as it doesn't interfere with the image quality. If you want to make it look more robotic, I guess, we have printed some parts in the see-through plastic. And you can mount LEDs or other lights behind it and just make it sort of appear a bit more synthetic. It's always an option.
Mm.
But we're looking into that.
But the reason why you'd put a camera behind the eyes is to see the interaction from people?
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's for experimental reasons. You know,
also, you can do face tracking. Mm-hmm. So you could have it follow a person. You could have it interact.
You know, the obvious use for this is, you know, catch the expression of the people and see what is the emotion going on there. So, yeah, definitely it's one of the critical parts of the robot, you know. Because, like humans, they must have certain kind of senses. Well, in this case, our sensors, you know, electronic sensors. The camera is one of these.
The video showed the mouth opening and closing, and I guess this has mechanisms to do that.
The servo is not currently in place, but the jaw does have movement there. The eyes also move. They get mounted onto here, which has left and right, and then with the third servo up and down, so it can articulate. I can kind of show that working, but it's still being built at the moment.
How long do you think it will take you to build the rest of the robot?
Well, we're hoping to have the head done by another 2 weeks.
But the good thing is that mainly for the experiments, you know, the most critical part is the head, an expressive head. When you try to identify the sense of the humanity, pretty much is the face. You know, the face is the thing that makes us different than the rest of the beings in the herd. So the critical part for us, particularly for the experiments that we want to develop, it's head and torso. And next stage is, you know, this kind of body language and body expression that you can get with the hands. You know,
if you're just having sort of the head and the torso and maybe some arms, mm-hmm. you'd have to put it on some sort of stand to make it a height of a person.
Yeah. Usually the experiments in human-robot interaction are developed in a table with seats.
Sitting down, basically.
Yeah, exactly. The humans sit down. You know, my last experiment was pretty much the robot playing a game with a human. We need just the feeling that the robot is there, like another human taking a seat. But again, you know, it's another really big step if we can do the inferior part or the bottom part of the body. But of course, we don't have
quite
plans, and it's quite difficult. Technically, we have a lot of
to do balance and to do walking, especially bipedal walking, is like an active area of research. So it's not
different field.
I know that Gail, who's the main creator and designer behind all of them, I know he's working on doing some lower legs. Like he wants to build the complete robot, but at the moment it is just sort of chest upwards design that's slowly being refined. Particularly the hands, they're actually looking at using that as a prosthetic. They're developing it as a cheap alternative for sort of, you know, people that have lost limbs, lost their hands.
Because they look quite lifelike.
Yeah, I mean, he's incorporated all five fingers. Each one gets its own individual servo to operate. It's not quite like the ideal, because the ideal finger, I'm pretty sure each finger has two muscles, one to contract, one to pull. Whereas this is only running a single servo for both motions. I mean, it works, but it's not quite perfectly lifelike. But it's good. It's amazingly impressive, especially for 3D printed.
Yeah, there are many advantages in this project. So, you know, this open source nature, it's affordable. You know, it's a robot that compared with the price of the other robots, it's something that we can develop by ourselves.
Yeah, the cost is the big issue. We're looking at hopefully about $1,500 for the whole body. The head was $60 in materials, and then about probably 10, 20... about another 50, 60 in servo, so 120 all up.
But that doesn't include your time.
That's right.
True, that doesn't include the time.
And once you've built this robot, what experiments are you going to run with it?
Well,
it's a bit hush-hush.
I cannot go really on deep on that because we don't want to bias the participation of the participants. Mainly reciprocity, interaction, focused and reciprocity could be one of the main fields.
But it'll basically be then interactions between people and the robot.
Yeah, yeah, definitely the interaction, you know, basically is based in conversations, in movements, in,
yeah, the human interaction,
reading of the language, the body language, the expressions of the robot.
So the robot will have a voice?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
definitely. The little voice.
You know, our reference is the human-human interaction for human-robot interaction. So voice, of course, is one of the main media that we use to communicate and interact with other humans and other things. So, yeah, definitely we can use voice. And I can show you one of the possible voices that the robot can use. So maybe just write something like, hello, New Zealand radio listeners.
Hello, radio, New Zealand.
Not that.
So it will probably be a male voice then?
This is another cool thing, you know. Robots doesn't have gender. They are like angels, right? So we have been thinking
voice?
So much about, you know, mainly the robot designers are males. And mainly the robots are male robots. So you can perceive them like a male robot. But could be really interesting to explore the research line about female robots. You know, there are just a few examples about that. So maybe another possible voice.
Hello, Radio New Zealand.
You know. But, you know, other option is keep a neutral voice, you know, a robotic voice, you know, giving their own personality to the robot. Yeah, let's gonna see. We need to decide this kind of interface that we need for the robot.
In some ways, the robot that you're creating is just a precursor to what might exist in the future. You're kind of seeing what interaction people might have with real robots in the future.
Yeah, yeah, it's a thing that we want. We want to collect data and basic information about what people can expect in different social situations with the robots. But we don't have enough information about it at the moment. So we need to develop all these experiments and get this data and analyze the data and get conclusions. And then we can have sort of guidelines to design robots, interactive robots with the people. So it's one of the critical steps that we must do before have commercial robots into homes, schools, offices, and so on.
That was Eduardo Sandoval. You also heard Tim Pomeroy, both from the University of Canterbury.
That's all for now. For more, check us out on the web, radionz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. Ka kite anō.